KSVY Sonoma.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
This is Our Timeless Secrets, and our intention is to inspire heartfelt conversation through music and dialogue that ignite our passion and empower us to move in the direction of our dreams.
In other words, we're here to share our secrets and those of our guests for what works for us to make life go better than well.
Good morning, and welcome to Sonoma, California. My name is Harry Blum, and I'd like to introduce our host, Mari Best.
Good morning.
Good morning, sweetheart.
How are you, darling?
Excellent.
Good, good. This is the best news I've had all day.
Oh, it's beautiful here. It's absolutely gorgeous.
It is.
Our summer has come early.
Right. And you know what today's show is about?
What's today's show about?
Risk.
Interesting.
Risk. The bigger the risk, the better the adventure is what I say, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. If there's no something, there's got to be a little pain to be gained.
Yeah. Well, you know, life's supposed to be fun, right?
Yes.
And if you stay in the safety zone the entire time, it just doesn't work.
You have to get out of your comfort zone in order to move forward. Every
right.
time you're challenged, you're moving forward and getting better and better
That's
at what
right.
you do, and more things seem to appear in your life.
That's right. And you know those ten two-letter words, if it is to be, it is up to me. Yeah, well, and as you know, I like to have fun. And hey, by the way, did you see Agnes Persnickety this
she
morning?
She was on Ken's show. Boy, could she make – she's a wild woman.
Oh, dear.
I don't know.
Yes.
She's not quiet. Let's put it that way.
No. And rather opinionated as the co-host Stevie was so
very
clear
quick
to point out.
Yeah, quick to point out.
But anyway, what the hell. I love her. She's a very, very dear friend. And, you know, come to think of it, I really like thinking of life as an adventure. You know, why not? Instead of waking up each day and say, well, you know, good morning, I'll have to go through this day, I rather say, hey, good morning, and let me see, what kind of an adventure are we going to have today?
With you, life is an adventure.
Well,
adventure. That's good. That was a good positive.
And most of these adventures have brought us a lot of joy, don't you think? I mean, that's
much joy. They brought us here to Nirvana.
This is true. This is true. One of the biggest adventures was selling and or giving away everything we owned and getting in our car and driving cross country and ending up in Sonoma, California. What a wonderful place to end up. I love it. I love it. I love it. And, well, I can't say enough about that. I could spend the entire show saying what I love. However, you know, the funny thing is that from the beginning of our lives, we're taught to seek outside ourselves for answers to our questions and you know, to what's going on and to what we should do. We're always choosing to look outside of ourselves when, in fact, the meter is inside. You know, it's that intuition meter, the one that gives you the butterflies if you're excited about something, or the knots in your stomach, perhaps, or in your shoulders, or wherever they might be, that tell you maybe this is not a good idea. But when you get those butterflies of excitement and amazement and adventure, then go for it. Go for it. You know, obviously, it's time to step outside the box. What do you think, Harry? I mean, don't you think that when you step outside the box, you get excited?
It always works. Yes, it does.
Listening to our intuition. But, you know, the big word is trust. Trust our intuition. You know, we often think, like, we get the little thought in our head, maybe it would be a good idea to do so-and-so. And there's perhaps a little nervous flutter goes on, and we misconstrue that for, oh, maybe we shouldn't. But if we allow it just to stay for a little while, we can build the excitement and actually step into it. But the big word, once again, is trust. So anyway, so many times we're busy listening to the voices of our parents, our teachers, friends, the media, and we forget the importance of listening to the only and best guidance we can ever expect, our intuition. You know, if I'd listened to my friends and the media back in the 1964, I'd never have come to America. And we would never have met each other.
Oh, that would be terrible.
That sounded rehearsed, Harry. Oh, that would be terrible. No. No, I'm only kidding.
Now what you told me to say? No.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, fortunately, my parents were ahead of their time. And they also knew that when I had my heart set on a particular plan, somehow or other I'd succeed. They'd watched me for 18 years of my life. And, gosh, I'm so grateful that my parents were like that, because boy, they could have felt like that was way too much of a risk for an 18-year-old girl to go flying off to America. But anyway, they had the foresight and the trust. And so I figured I'd probably make a good nanny. I'd done a bit of babysitting, you know, and I thought, well, you know, a little bit of babysitting and being a nanny.
Big difference. Very big difference.
Oh, yes, yes. So Mom and Dad said, well, Mary, you can go to America, but there's one thing you have to do first. You have to be a nanny in Scotland first. So I did. I got myself a job, actually, as a nanny to Lulu's backers. Lulu to Sir With Love, you remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. One of her backers and his wife, they had a lovely little 15-year-old baby. Paula was her name. And I got to be her nanny for all of 3 months before I flew off to America. That was a bit of a shock for them. And boy, did I have to risk my life telling them that I wasn't going to be their nanny anymore. Ooh, that was a bit scary. And by the way, ask me if I have any children. Well, that's another story. So, on the 19th of September, 1964, yours truly bid adieu to all my friends and family and jumped on board British Airways and sped off to the vast country of America. Oh. And you know what? I don't remember feeling like I was taking a risk at that moment. The first time it became a feeling like a risk was when I heard the crickets outside my window in America on that first night when I went to my bedroom. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I've never heard crickets before. And there, right outside my window, the only time I'd heard crickets were on a movie or television.
Television or something,
yeah.
Yes.
Because we didn't have crickets in Scotland. If we did, they were quiet crickets. Or they spoke a different language. I don't know. But you know what?
Even in the Glen?
No crickets. No, I never heard a cricket there.
Wow.
But you know what? It was wartime. If you remember, the Vietnam War was on then. So my dad said to me, you know, Mary, if you want to go to America, there's one thing I'll have to tell you. There are not too many men left in America. They're all over fighting the war in Vietnam. And if there are any left, there'll probably be more around the Washington, D.C. area. So he said, maybe you should look for a job there. I mean, I don't know. My father was pretty ahead of his time. So anyway, I jumped on that plane. I remember walking through the airport with all my friends and my family at my side. And all I felt was a true, and I never spoke this out loud, but it was a true determination to make a difference in the world. And so I looked at the faces and this song was sort of going through my mind.
Again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was song. We meet again, don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
Welcome back, and this is Our Timeless Secrets, and we're talking about risk, just involving right at the moment the risk taking of an 18-year-old, yours truly, Mari, as she flew off in the big silver bird from Scotland to come to America. Yes, 18 years old. Well, my parents were pretty brave in front of me. They never once broke down at the airport, but I did notice a couple of the friends of mine with tears in their eyes, but I was so excited about the prospects ahead of me. Tears were not a part of my experience. I learned to hide most of my feelings, but yet that was another story. The risk did not dawn until I heard those crickets, like I said before. Then I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Now, my family's, 3,000 miles away. And what have I done? Well, you know what? Letting go of the little girl, my parents, you know, I was their only daughter. And that had to be pretty overwhelming for them. We never did discuss it, though. Isn't it funny? It was one of those subjects that never really came up. Or maybe they were just delighted to see the back of me.
That was probably the case.
Thanks a lot, Harry.
Jinty probably paid them to get you out of the country.
Oh, you know you're not allowed to call her Jinty. It's only me that gets to call Jeanette Jinty. Now the whole world knows. Okay, well, there we are. Oh, boy. Well, you see, universe had a grander plan, you know. There were lots of lessons to be learned. And, yes, that would take about 15 or 1,500 shows to discuss the lessons. However, I will say that the depth of my self-esteem was unfathomable. In other words, it was low. But no one really figured that out because I was the ultimate actress. In hindsight, I'm clear that my decision to move to America was more of a need than a want. But we will talk about that again at a later time. The me that presented was far different than the Mari on the inside. This inside Mari felt alone and separate. She felt she had a mission. I felt I had a mission, what shall I say? I'm talking about myself in the second person here. But the mission I knew was about creating peace. And I'd had that feeling since I was 5 years old. I mean, I would be out there on the playground, only five, and I would be making people be friendly with one another. If they seemed like they were fighting, I would be talking to them about making friends and hugging each other instead of being upset with one another. And I couldn't understand it, why not everybody fell in with my plan. And so often I'd go home from school upset and crying because so-and-so wasn't talking to so-and-so. And often they weren't talking to me either. So as a child, I felt rather outcast, and it was difficult. So I guess the risk to take off and go to America was quite a lot bigger than I really even thought. I also wanted so desperately, like many, many of people, to fit in. And yet, here I was on a mission that was so opposite of what people were used to doing, the way people were used to behaving. You know, when you're around people that are in conflict, you tend to fall in with a plan and start taking sides. And that wasn't part of my journey at all. That was so foreign to me, even as a little child. I couldn't get talked into either side. I don't know. I mean, I think about that.
You're
now
one of the few.
Yes.
People did take sides in this country.
Yeah. And here we were in the middle of the Vietnam War, and all I could think about was peace. And so, you know, it occurred to me that actually I wrote long beyond this poem entitled, "Why Do We Call Them Arms?" Why do we call them arms when arms are supposed to hold you? Why do we call them arms when all they do is kill. Arms holding little babies are the sweet and nurturing kind. All other arms are the dangerous ones we find. So reach out your arms and touch someone. Let your love be shared. By reaching out and sharing your love, yet another life is spared. Let's use the arms God gave us to hold somebody tight. When somebody tries to tackle you, just refuse to fight. The storm will soon blow over and the sun will appear. Don't take up arms when driven by fear. Instead, use your arms to hold someone near. Oh, why? Why do we call them arms? We never want to do harm. And that's a feeling that had plagued me throughout my life. A feeling of separateness in my in my plight to create peace. So I...
What could you do at this stage?
The thing is that I thought, here I am in America. I'm closest to the place where the decisions were made to go into Vietnam. What can I do? So I found myself going to the Bethesda Naval Hospital, which is in the outskirts of Washington, D.C. And I asked if I could entertain those young men. Mainly it was young men at that time who were coming back, the wounded, coming back from Vietnam. And that was a most rewarding experience for me. However, I was quickly taken aback when my last visit there came about due to doing something against the law. What did I do? I showed my feelings. We were told when we went in to entertain these troops that that things would be very touching for us and that we must keep a very stern and not stern, but...
stiff upper lip.
Yes, right. like the British, sort of. Stiff upper lip. And so there I was in this amazingly huge war, filled with beds that were, each one had a wounded soldier in. And I was going around the beds and I had my guitar in my hand and I had also a little boombox with some other recorded accompaniment for my songs. And I got to the bed of this young man and he said, "Do you see that fellow in the bed over there?" And I looked and the man was definitely all kind of bandaged up a bit. And he said, "You know, he played his guitar for us. He was the one that kept our spirits up over there in Vietnam. And he has been here now for 3 weeks and he hasn't spoken a word." He said, "Would you take your guitar over to him and get him to play for us? We would really love that." So I looked at him and I thought, oh my goodness. Inside I was feeling so much emotion. I couldn't believe it, but I knew that I had to honor his request. So I walked slowly across the ward and I approached the young man's bed and I looked at him and I said, "I hear that you're quite a musician and that you're good at keeping the spirits up of the troops. How about if you play us a tune?" And he looked up at me and I handed him my guitar. And he maneuvered it on the bed and he started to play. And as he started to play, the tears dropped down his face. And before he'd even got the first word out, all those who could make it over to his bedside were right round the bedside. And they were all moved to tears. I remembered my stern commitment from the nurse telling me that I hadn't to cry, so I gently backed out through the crowd of fellas and left the guitar in the hands of the patient and went out through the doors of the ward and crumpled in a heap in the hallway, in tears, of course. Well, guess who shows up? The head nurse, and she says, what's going on here? And I said, oh, and I told her what had happened. And she said, you go in there and you get your guitar and it's time for you to leave. And I thought, oh, well, is this the way I'm given thanks, you know, for what I'm about? So I left in a very, very confused state. I had broken the cardinal rule to show feelings. And I had risked doing something good for the war. However, I want you to listen to this song by John Denver.
I'll stand alone on some forgotten highway. Something that I can't believe in. Looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me, nothing that ties me to something that might have been true yesterday. Tomorrow is open. Right now seems to be more than enough to just be here today. And I don't know what the future is holding in store. Don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I've been. There's a spirit that guides me, a light that shines for me. My life is worth the living. I don't need to see the end. Something that I can believe in, looking for something that I'd like to do with my life. There's nothing behind me, nothing that ties me to something that might have been true yesterday. Tomorrow is open. Right now it seems to be more than enough to just be here today. And I don't know what the future is holding in store. Don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure where I've been. There's a spirit that guides me, a light that shines for me. Like a bird.
sweet, sweet surrender. Why don't we live, live without care? Like a fish, just like a fish in the water.
And there's no accident that I chose to play John Denver's song, Sweet Surrender. If you think about it, John Denver was all about peace. And I had the good fortune of actually performing with him at a small club, very casually in a small club in Annapolis, Maryland. And he was just as gentle in person as he came across on television and in any of his shows. He's a very special person, and certainly riveted my attention on what it is that I'm about. Do I surrender, take a risk and surrender to all these would-bes that you hide your feelings, that you keep everything inside? Or do I actually risk showing my feelings and take that risk of being turned down and with backs turned against me, perhaps, with people that are not ready to deal with feelings? But you know what? I made the choice to be open and to risk, and I did throughout my life. And that doesn't mean that that people who do keep their feelings under wraps are wrong. It just means that their part of this journey is not including that yet. They're not ready yet to open them up, and I honor that. But I knew that my journey was about peace, and the peace has to come from within. And when there's turmoil inside, it and it's being strangled by choked down feelings, then I'm not being really good to myself. So that's my feeling, and that's where I chose to go. But the whole story about risk, it's not just all about my life, but it's also risking letting go of stuff. You know, we know about
material
that.
Material things, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll come back if you need it. It just kind of comes back like a boomerang at the right time.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
It does. And stuff, you know, like, well, risk getting rid of my home. I had a home in Annapolis. This is before I met my sweet Harry. And I thought, on one hand, I was so blessed to have a home with a roof over my head, but on the other side, I did not feel the abundance to carry that home at the time because of a broken relationship, and I had allowed myself to think less in the abundant arena. So guess what? I ended up having to get rid of the home. And so when the message came to get rid of the home, it also said, get rid of your furniture, too. And I thought to myself, what? I spent $3,000 or something silly like that shipping over furniture from my mom's house because it was so special to me. And here I was being encouraged by my angels to get rid of it. Come on, it's just stuff. And I thought, well, if I risk letting that go, you know, I could never maybe replace that. Never. Get rid of it was the constant reminder I got. And, you know, I don't regret one bit of that. And then, of course, you come into my life, and it's clear that, you know, we're now going to have our go at that,
our stuff. Yes. We both had to get rid of more stuff. Just keeps coming, and we just keep turning it and paying it forward.
That's the way it goes. And so whenever you're thinking of letting go, it isn't just about houses and furniture. It could be your car. We let go a car, too. And magical, magical things happened. So you just never know what's going to come to replace. But when you create that vacuum, when you risk letting go, the vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum, you know that. So it's quickly replaced. But the trusting and letting go is the key. So I would like to share with you a poem right now. And the poem is entitled, A Spiritual Journey. In this world of earthly doings, I get caught up in the mire of what I'm going to do or what I'm going to be when I grow up. I've just discovered that none of this is real. I'm aware that spirit fills my cup. I've been sent here on a mission to make a difference in this world, which confuses earthly beings, this I know. Now, instead of trying to conform to earthly ways, I will follow spirit and let go. I let go of all the trappings of the should-bes and the needs and listen to the spirit that I hear. I trust that guidance given. I watch the road unfurl, knowing that my guide is ever near. Thank you for bearing with me and honoring my plan. This is what I know that I must do. I feel relief that I've discovered that joy within my soul. Now I choose to share this joy with all of you. And you're listening to Our Timeless Secrets. And right here, I'm just getting a message. Well, 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 here we are, all the way 7,000 miles away, and I'm getting a message from my dear Scotland. And dear Jeanette.
I'm crying.
She says, loving the show, a tear in my eye. Thought you'd love to share those with you. And this is a photograph of the actual plane that I got on when I left America. Thank you, Chinty. You're the girl. Thanks a lot. You made Harry cry and me too.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. The wonders of the internet. So here we are. And we prepare for these risks sometimes, and sometimes we take them in a flash. And, you know, I recognize that when I met you, Harry, there was going to be yet another risk, and that is to, after finally looking inside of myself and finding what it is I loved about me, I was ready to find somebody special. And guess what? Universe came through right away.
And, boy, am I lucky.
Yeah, and you stepped right in there. And this is a song I want to play for you.
This is the moment. This is the day. When I send all my doubts and demons on their way, every endeavor I have made ever is coming into play, is here and now, today. This is the moment, this is the time. When the momentum and the moment are in rhyme, give me this moment, this precious chance. I'll gather up my past and make some sense at last. This is the moment when all scheming and screaming become one. This is the day
this is the moment. Yes. And oh boy, during that moment, we reviewed what our friend Jeanette, or Jinty as we affectionately call her, sent us photographs, not only of the plane that I left to come to America on, but of the gathering of friends that were there at the airport, and pictures of yours truly with my mom and my dad at the airport. Whoa, I love that. And thank you, Jinty. You're the best. And here's now, we're going to flash forward to when Harry proposed to me. He he said to me, "Maury, I want to marry you, and I want to get married in Scotland so that your friends and your family can be there at your side." Well, I wasn't quite sure what that was about, but I followed into onto the with that idea, and guess what? It was really special, but I have a feeling that it had to do with his tendency
I have a tendency for codependency, and I'd sure like to make you mine.
Is this you, Harry?
Definitely.
I know we'd have it made if you'll do things my way. If you will only stay in line and live up to all my expectations and never disappoint me at all, we could live forever in a dream world. So climb up on this pedestal and baby, don't you fall. 'Cause I love you, hate you, need you. 'Cause I love you, hate you, need you. I love you, hate you, need you. Leave me alone.
All right. I just had to throw that in for a little bit. No. His desire to marry me in Scotland was way, way beyond that. But I had to play that song because I just love it. I think it's rather amusing, don't you? Is that Greg Tamblyn?
Yes, it is. He's amazing. Anyway, he's absolutely funny.
Harry even begged me to wear, that he could wear a kilt, but I for some reason didn't want him to. But we did play a nice song at the wedding. We did, and I think Jeanette will like this. Jeanette, this we're going to send this out to you. And we'll enjoy it together. Yes, I remember vividly this music playing as we descended that long staircase to tie the knot. That was in our celebration that we had in America of our wedding. We did two weddings, one in Scotland and one in America. And Harry, you know, I just want you to know that that was the greatest decision and the greatest risk in a good way. I mean, that I have taken in my life. I mean, and then It was quite a risk for me today to reveal Agnes Persnickety. Who knows what could have come up with that? And it still might. But I'm so glad that I waited, as you suggested. Harry, you know, you do have an amazing impact on my life. And there are some times when I know just to back down and listen, because you do have a connection to some higher plane that is keyed into knowing the perfect time. And that was, that happens a lot for us. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for sharing the adventures that we do, and to sharing the adventure of coming here to Sonoma, because it's one of the best one we ever did. And I hope that one of our next adventures will be traveling back to Scotland again very soon. And meanwhile, the purpose is to love without condition. That's my purpose. And it's the epitome of making a difference. It's about stepping away from judgment and stepping into that place of acceptance for all. And recognizing how small this world is. Here we are talking about a memory that happened way back almost 50 years ago. And here the greatest, dearest friend of mine has produced the photos to prove that beginning. And now, Harry, I'd like just to play for you this special song, because you are the wind beneath my wings. Harry, you are the wind beneath my wings. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. And thanks to our amazing sponsors. And Harry, for all that you do, and all the others who have believed in me throughout my life and about my life mission, often without me knowing. I am so grateful. And we will see you next week on Our Timeless Secrets. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Here on Our Timeless Secrets is where you can catch a glimpse of the mystical Mari. Mari is a certified intuitive success coach, a channel, ably assisted by her spirit guides, Esophocles and Endante. Mari is the catalyst for change. She will capture an audience to facilitate individuals on how to trust feelings and take responsibility for their lives, bringing them clarity, freedom, and peace. Mari uses the simple tools of laughter, song, and poetry, and her impish Scottish wit, and of course, her spirit guides, Esophocles and Endante, are always with her. Her message is simple. Give choice, a voice, and always come from a place of unconditional love. You can be coached by Mari via phone or on Skype or better still, in person. 707-934-7717 or email at maribest@gmail.com. That's M-A-H-R-I, best, as in the very best, @gmail.com. Or on the web at maribest.com.
Slumber warm when night winds blow. May you always live with laughter, for a smile becomes you so. May good fortune find your doorway. May the bluebird sing your song. May no trouble travel your way. May no worry stay too long. May your heartaches be forgotten. May no tears be
and may